Morning, folks. Lovely to see you all. Beautiful day. Welcome to worship. Just a couple of notices before I begin, but they're not just notices. They're about the very future of our church, I think. It's been wonderful to just hear from Zoe and to hear what Friends of God are doing. So Friends of God need 40 minutes. I don't know what I'm going to do to fill the time in 40 minutes, but when I reflect, I've never really had a problem before, but we're not into time filling. But I think the thing about just the early conversation was that your children, young people, families being at the heart of what we're doing, so we prioritise what Zoe's doing. Secondly, you may well have seen Fresh Horizons. Thanks to Tony for doing this. It's a wonderful resource. And I mentioned where we're at in terms of our children, family and community worker. It's really difficult to know how much information to release when a contract hasn't been signed, but I've signed it on behalf of the circuit, and do be praying. His name might be Tim, and he might be coming, or originally from Hong Kong and studying in this country and wanting to settle here. Obviously, he's not signed, but we're going through what is quite a lengthy procedure, rightly so, to try and recruit to start around the beginning of July. So as per my note here, please do be praying. Second thing I want to share with you, I printed loads of these out and I'm going to give you this to think about, but I don't want it to dominate for the whole service. On the first Sunday in June, I can't get to you in June. Everyone goes, ah, one, two, three. Ah. That sounded quite genuine, actually. Fake sincerity. No. I can't get to you in June. That's a combination, although I am here next week. That's a combination of I'm due to be a representative to Methodist Conference, which I've been keen to do for the last 7 years, and finally I'm able to do that. It's also about juggling how I get to the different churches, some of whom have seen me less than you have. Okay, but there is a gap, and that's on the first Sunday in June in the afternoon or in the evening, it's up to you, but if we follow the cafe worship style, it'd be 4:30. Now I thought, and we've got a slide for this at the end of worship, it might be good to perhaps have a kind of a revive service, a revival service, because there's lots of new people coming. And I'm minded that you can never go wrong if we remind people of the gospel, if we invite people to respond and recommit their faith, if we have a space where we're confident to bring our friends, perhaps, or those who haven't come to church in a while, and also we could draw off some testimony, and we could also offer prayers for healing and for wholeness. In some senses, that can happen, and I can be here to do that. In another way, we could big it up. We could, like, share the good news. The other thing is that, as some of you might be aware, we use resources for live stream worship. They're video resources. We've used some of them here. And I think if I were to say that we were to use video resources, I think some people from across the circuit might be interested in coming. So if you're interested in that, if you're stirred by that, I know there's a lot on because there's something happening with the coronation and all that lot next week, and, you know, I realise it's a busy time. But if that stirs your heart, and if you're interested, if six people come to me at the end of worship, just you come up to me and you just say yes, that means that you're willing to be there and you think it might be a good idea. And if six people come up, I'll go ahead and we'll begin to push some publicity. If not, I will most likely continue to sort of say, well, I can be here because I'd like to retain some kind of contact with you in June. Does that make sense? Yeah? So if you're interested, you just come up to me. Don't, because you know what I'm like with the conversation, just go yes. And that's all I need to know. Because I know also that's it's a busy time and it might be another way that we might be able to reach out. But just let me know. Okay, right, let's move on. Because we're thinking, I'm not going to tell you what we're thinking about today. So most people who get the order of service will know. So no, you're not allowed to answer if you've seen the order of service. Okay, this is only for, that cuts about half of us out. Because so many people involved. But we're going to think about and try and remember a passage today. This is for you adults, not for the kids. But I do need a young person who's happy to get dressed up for me. Okay, so my question is, what passage are we remembering today? Who can come? Come on. Seriously, I need a young person because I bought this as a fancy dress kit as extra, extra large and don't fit me. Seriously, I spent big money on this. Come. T-shirt for you? Who's prepared to go? Nobody? Right, okay, I need somebody of slight build. and adults of slight build who will fit into this. Come on. Come on. Matt, there is no way in a million years that you... Yeah, okay. Right, okay. Matt, can you put that... Actually, you're going to put me to shame, aren't you? I look like a vacuum-packed bag in that when I put it on. Right. If it goes on and it's... Just, mate, it just fits really well, actually. That's right, just because the tag doesn't... Right, okay. Any idea what story we might be looking at today? Yeah, it's still got the tag in it. You can take it with you, Matt, as my present to you, and you can tour it around the... Any idea what passage we might be looking at? Okay, well, it looks like a pirate. Let's take that a little bit further, then. Get a bit worried here. Can I just say that it was a proper... You want to put that on for me? Any ideas? Oh, robber, get in there. Prisoner, robber. There's a bag here. It's very, very fetching, Matt. It says swag on it. Okay. Any ideas what passage you might be looking at? Any idea? Anyone know a passage where a robber or a thief is referred to? Oh, excellent. So, yes. So, here, catch. There we are. Sorry, we like to treat people. And also, I think you liked the chef. This is Zoe's, by the way. Oh, you're going to put in the swag bag. The lamb will go in the swag bag. There we are. And you can keep yourself warm with a scarf. There we are. So, yes, who said the Good Shepherd? Okay, we are going to look at, and the first text we're going to look at is Psalm 23 today, the Good Shepherd. But why the thief? Somebody tell me about the story, the other story that Jesus told about a thief linked to shepherding. No, not quite. Right, Jesus says he's not like the thief that comes in the night to steal and kill and destroy. He is the Good Shepherd. Okay, so Matt, I'd like to thank you. Somebody get a picture of this. I'd like to thank you for dressing up. Give him a round of applause, please. Yeah, and I think I think and the sheep as well. Can we have the sheep back? Make sure the sheep. Yeah, okay. Keep the T-shirt. Keep the T-shirt as a gift from me. Okay, and not the. Okay, wonderful. So we are thinking about the Good Shepherd, how we can trust the Good Shepherd. There's not everyone in life that we can trust. And EJ is going to read for us, and then we're going to share in a short prayer, and we're going to take our offering early, because the young ones sometimes have been doing our offering, and then they're going to be straight out into their Friends of God's group, and I've got more interesting things to say about sheep. Interested as we move on? Yeah. Excellent. Right, EJ. Let's have a moment of quiet for EJ, who's going to read for us. Are you going that way back?
I will be reading Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me. In the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Let's join together in prayer to remember God's faithfulness.
Lord, as we come before you this morning, we remember how we can trust you, how you have good things for us, how you are the Good Shepherd, and how you protect us from the enemy that wishes to come and steal and kill and destroy. We thank you that we're able to look back on our lives and acknowledge your faithfulness, of how you lead us to refreshment, how you restore our soul. And how you enable us to walk through challenging times. We also acknowledge in this life that not everyone is out there with kindness
willing to support us, and yet you uphold us in the face of those who want to work against us, our enemies. Lord, we pray for our young people, and we pray for us all as we walk the journey of faith. Keep us safe, Lord, but also help us to lift our eyes to you. May we become the people that you're calling us to be, the best version of ourselves, and may we find the tasks to which you're calling us to serve. We celebrate that you bring life in all its fullness. Amen. And let's sing together The Lord's My Shepherd. It's the Townend version. That's number 481 if you do happen to be using a book, but words are on the screen. Thank you. Okay, and let's
pray together. Lord, we offer you our lives this day, and we bring our gifts that they might be used for the work of your kingdom. We pray particularly this time for all those organisations seeking after those who are lost and those who are in desperate situations. Amen. And we pray for our young people as they leave us and they go out into fog, that your blessing would be with them. Amen. And we shall see them afterwards as they return. There's a request that they lead us in a prayer, which is wonderful. Our closing prayer today. There we are. There we are. Penny's making her way. That's right. Right, have a good time. Yeah, come back. Being willing to talk about what you've learned. I've seen the slides already. I'm excited and I'm a bit jealous because I'd like to be in there with you. Right. There we are. And wonderful. Ian and Linda have just come in uncharacteristically late, actually, because Ian and Linda would usually be here very much on time, but just told me, and it's quite poignant today, that they've been helping somebody. There was somebody walking the streets in a nightdress trying to walk their way to Peterborough, and Ian and Linda have been involved this morning in contacting the police, last seen talking to the police, so those vital steps being taken. So thoughts and prayers with that woman. Lord, we pray for her and all those who care for her. And we thank you for those times when we are able to provide assistance. And indeed, where we see a situation, Lord, where we need to respond, give us the fortitude and the calm and the wisdom to do that. Amen. Amen. Couldn't be more timely, really. I remember before my own mum, who's in a care home, you might know that she's journeying with Alzheimer's, the point where we thought, oh, she needs 24/7 care in a home environment, in a care home environment, was where that she would try and escape from the front door and say she was walking home. We think home was back where she was raised when she was young, you know. So I'm aware about that paradigm. So, but thank you, bless you, and we pray for that lady. Wonderful. So we're thinking about shepherding today, and we're thinking about, well, sheep, how we can respond as sheep. And I've got some images. You might have seen these before. Oh, we are. We can't help ourselves. It's wonderful. But you might not have done. But I thought I'd show you these examples of how we as sheep, or just sheep, we'll start thinking with first, but examples of how sheep can get into difficulty. So there is a sheep, pregnant ewe, on her back. Not a good sign. Not a good sign. Now, this actually came, this came from a newspaper article. It's around about last year, probably 3 weeks back, if you see what I mean. So we're hitting May, and there was an article saying, if you see a sheep like this, don't just leave them there in the field. Try and get them back up to their feet. And if you can't get them on their feet, go and see the farmer. Farmer is not going to complain to you banging on the door saying one of your pregnant ewes is on its back. But actually say, just get them by the wool and roll them back over. See if you can help them up. Because once they're on their backs, they're stuck. And they can't do anything unless we help out. Now, there are some people here with farming backgrounds who are aware about this kind of stuff. But yeah, in my, if you're walking around, occasionally in life we end up like this. We do end up like this. Okay, absolutely helpless. Okay, I don't know how they get on the back in the first place.
They can eat too. They eat too much grass and get too dozy.
Right. If they eat too much grass, they better get dozy and they grow. They go. There we are. There we are. There we are. Thank you. Claire's moving me on here. This is, can you see the sheep being rescued? They're not actually. They didn't opt to swim in the first place. But it does make me laugh here because there you have the RNLI, for real, getting sheep out of a flooded field. I wonder where the nearest RNLI branch was, you know. But yes, sometimes through no fault of our own we can end up in difficulty and need to be led out and assisted. There we are. What an operation that looks like. There we are. That's great. Timing's good. So sheep with a bucket on its head, I'll tell you how that happens, that's really interesting. So if you've got one of those buckets, I think I've described it before, that's got a bucket with a handle that sort of swivels,
Sheep's going for the food, right at the bottom of the bucket, trying to lick the bucket, lifts the bucket on its head, and the little handle comes under its chin. And if the bucket's the right size, that bucket gets stuck there, and so sheep becomes bucket head. So this is what happens if you stick your face in the bottom of the biscuit tin for too long. Okay? There's another variation on this. I think, don't let the truth get in the way of a good story, but I reckon what happens is that bucket is over something and it's got a hole in it. Yeah, so I think it's protecting some food, and the sheep's gone down and banged the top of the bucket so that it can try and get underneath whatever. I don't know, I'm just making it up. But somehow that sheep's got its head through the bottom of a bucket and given itself a bucket collar. Okay, so maybe in life there's something about we think we're being ingenious, and we're not. But there you go. That's the straightforward sheep stuck in a chair image. I've had some various experience, particularly around plastic pub chairs. There's one that's hilarious where I sat in once, and it was like in slow motion. Ro remembering this, it was sat in slow motion, and it was an old chair. It wasn't to do with my weight, right? It was an old chair, and it just sank really, really slowly, but graciously. And I slowly went underneath his table, and then it reached a point and went like that. So chairs can be dangerous. There we are, sheep. Sheep on a roof. Any idea? Okay, who can have an idea about how you get a sheep on a roof? Let's just pause it. How might that happen? So you've got a nice fireman there. This is Yorkshire, by the way. Not Wales. I thought it was Wales. Yorkshire. Nice fireman from one of the West, I think it's West Yorkshire Fire Brigade. Trying to just have a conversation with the sheep over a wall. I'd love to know what that conversation is. But any idea how the sheep might have got there? Flew? No. That thought it was a goat. Okay, well, it's climbing, isn't it? I've had to think about, well, West Yorkshire or any hilly place. It's through the mountains. Yeah, it's how the mountains kind of, or the hills come down sharp, and you've got a line of terraced housing. So little sheep has jumped onto the whole row of terraced housing here and gone right to the end. And it's just sat there on the roof, so they have to call the fire brigade out. I wonder how much money that costs to call the fire brigade out. It was when I was a student. There used to be this ongoing joke, because I think this was back when I was a student, which was years ago, as an undergrad student. Do you remember? If you burnt the toast, the fire brigade automatically came if the alarm went out. We went to the same college. And it was something like a £200 call-out fee that you had to pay. You know, and you'd probably be standing there going, yeah, would you like jam on that, or would you like Marmite? You know, but these things happen. But exploring, perhaps we should. Now, this one... Yeah, I know. I want to say that this sheep was unharmed. It was unharmed. This is a hilarious story that I think I've tried to relate before, but it works even better with the picture. Okay, so what you can see there is that brown thing is a sheep stuck on the end of a telegraph pole through its horns. Okay? Now, it's actually abseil to that point, believe it or not, and I'll share how it did it. Right, so it was a boy sheep. I'm going to take it. It's a boy sheep, right? And it was interested in a very mountainous area of jumping over the wall to see some girl sheep. Okay? Very keen. Now, over this wall was the telegraph wire. And it was a point over the wall. It was just, kind of within catching distance of a sheep's horn jumping over and then their horns getting stuck in the wire. So somewhere higher up the mountain... Boy sheep was interested in seeing girl sheep, made the jump, got the horn caught, and then kind of like zip-wired down, and ended up right there, and ended up having to be rescued. I need to stress that no sheep were injured in that particular scenario. So yes, as sheep, well, we can all go astray. There's lots of themes there that we're able to think about in our own lives. Sometimes... it was great. I've got to tell you, I had interviews yesterday for the lay pastoral assistant to assist with Janet, and one of the candidates were great candidates offering, but one of the best answers, and I kind of couldn't help myself roar out loud. And we asked, "How do you deal with stress?" And one candidate went, "Oh, I eat." It was just like, I like the honesty here. I think that's a marked up on honesty. You know, I eat. But think about the ewe on the back. And think about the problem with the sheep getting a bucket stuck on his head because of, the compulsive behaviour around perhaps eating. But we all have behaviours that are compulsive, that can get us into difficulty. We're in moderation, it's great. Too much, if you're too keen on getting a feed at the bottom of the bucket, you're going to have a problem, you know. So there's something about that. There's something about, and I think even the zip wiring sheep with the horns is another one, you know. Just be wise with your urges, should I say. You know, think about consequences in the longer term. So there's something about that. I think there's something about exploration. Exploration is good, but not if we end up kind of caught. You know, so the sheep that decided for whatever reason they were going to jump on the terraced roof. You know, you're exploring. You can find you're in a place and you're suddenly struggling. You know, we've all, I think, done that. We've all not made ourselves accountable, perhaps, to other people. You know, worked as a team. Let people know if you're going out, what's happening. Let people know how you're feeling, what's going on in your daily life. Otherwise, you end up exposed. But there is something about the kind of exploring where it's not wise to explore on your own. Okay, so I think there's some themes around that one. And some things happen that are not our fault at all. You know, it's not your fault if you end up stranded because of floods. Doesn't matter whether you're a sheep or a human being. In my last appointment, there were quite a few properties flooded out. And I used to go in and just say, hi, you know, we're thinking of you, and there'd be that much water, you know, that the people would be contending with. Or there'd be, usually by then, they'd be sweeping out. That's not anyone's fault. But there's those who come and support us. So there's enough there for you to be reflecting on your own life as we come before God in confession. And the first confession is that really we can't do life on our own. But we need the Lord alongside us to help us to become the people who we are called to be and to experience life in all its fullness. That's number one. But number two, the confession is that we're not always as wise as we should be. We're not always wise as we should be. Maybe the jump across the terraced houses need more planning and consultation. You know, let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the beauty of your creation. We thank you for that yearning that's within us to experience life in all its fullness. That yearning in us to explore and experience. Lord, we thank you that that yearning comes from you and that you long for us to find life in all its fullness. And this morning, if that zest has lifted from us, we pray that you would return it to us. Help us to have a joy for life, to look at your creation and the opportunities around us with wonder. But also we acknowledge that whilst there are times when we find ourselves in difficulty through no fault of our own, there are times that when we enter difficulty because we take matters into our own hands. We don't know our limits or apply them. We don't necessarily consult with others. So Lord, be with us as we journey along the road of discipleship. We thank you for your faithfulness, that you are the great rescuer. We thank you for your goodness and grace that follow us all the days of our life. We thank you for your forgiveness. Help us as we care for ourselves and care for others and share the good news that you are Lord of all. Amen. I'm going to sing The King of Love, My Shepherd Is, which links us on to John 10, 1 to 10, that Jesus is the good shepherd and not like the thief who comes to rob, kill and destroy. Thank you. I'm reminded, it's interesting, it's the sometimes when we sing hymns that have oldie words, I kind of think, oh, this is a bit dusty, how does this relate? But sometimes when we sing hymns with oldie words, even though they need a bit of decoding, it kind of speaks to me about, we don't just stand in, you know, today, we stand in a tradition that has strengthened generations and generations and generation before us. Thou spreadst a table in my sight, thy unction grace bestoweth, and oh, what transport of delight, what language, what transport of delight from thy pure chalice floweth. So yes, we're going to hear now, thank you, we're going to hear from John 10, 1 to 10.
The Good Shepherd and His Sheep. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Amen.
I've totally lost track, by the way, of how long the kids have been out. So if somebody can let me... Can somebody have a note of when they actually went out, you know, after Langley's long...
9 minutes ago.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. I want to honour that, make sure that Zoe gets all the time that she needs. Because apparently the kids wonderfully getting frustrated if they can't finish their activities. Isn't that great? I'm sure we can find something to do. I do have some questions that we can talk through about this passage, and they will come up later. But I couldn't help myself. I kind of thought this Sunday, it's such a familiar passage, preached on it more than once. What is there new that I can bring, and what's going to kind of refresh me? And I was really surprised. There were two things as I was reflecting this morning in prayer that I thought I would bring before we think about some questions that may well be helpful for our own discipleship. The first thing is that I noticed that I think we have to be careful on how we view shepherding as it's depicted in the Bible and the presumptions we make about how shepherding was perceived. When I think about the Nativity, for example, the angels appear and declare the birth of the Christ child, and it's right on the fringes, and we often talk about lowly shepherds, don't we? And we think of the shepherds, yes, as being poor. And that fits our paradigm, our motif, when we remember Jesus coming to walk alongside us. The kings come later, last. It's the shepherds who first hear the message, the lowly hear the message first. And there's something to be said for that. But actually, if you think about Psalm 23 and the image of shepherding there, the role of the shepherd is celebrated, isn't it? You know, it gives great courage, gives great strength. And don't forget that King David was a shepherd as well. So I was thinking that perhaps our view of shepherding, if we're not careful, becomes more lower class than working class. Yeah? Because to be a shepherd, well, you would have had to be, you'd be willing to take up responsibility. need to be dedicated to that if you're going to be a good shepherd. You need to know your animal husbandry and how sheep end up on their back, for example, and how to get them back off and how to spot the signs. You'd also have to know how to navigate rough territory really well. So you'd have to be strong. Actually, you can see why King David is celebrated, you know. And also, you'd have been had to be able to look after yourself and look after the sheep. And sometimes the model of shepherding that we kind of inherit in our minds is of the lowly shepherd, you know, dusty. And they were disregarded by some, but it depends who was looking at them. I was thinking on the way here, and some of you know that I have a rather unhealthy fascination in flight simulation, but I was genuinely thinking that perhaps we might want to be thinking about shepherds as airline pilots. Because if you think about an airline pilot and the trust you put in the pilot and the crew and all those, that's a much better and more helpful model. They hold the lives of the passengers in their hands. They're responsible for keeping the calm, you know, when, for example, you know, it's clear that an engine is smoking or there's smoke coming into the cabin. And so I think there's something about that. That I think we should be, you know, the good shepherd is like the good airline pilot. Maybe a bad airline pilot wouldn't really care about how the passengers were feeling and would mean that the stewards were having a really difficult time looking after the passengers. And actually there's some really profound links there because, of course, shepherding in the Old Testament is actually a kind of mirror of how God would look after us and how we're responsible for looking after for others. So a bad airline pilot doesn't really care about how the passengers are feeling, leaves all the problems to the stewards and doesn't speak with a kind of tone saying, it's okay, folks. You know, I know we're down to one engine, but this plane is capable of flying on one engine. You know, or we've got three spare, or if you're in a jumbo. Or, you know, there's something about that. So it's almost like I think that when we talk about the good shepherd today, I don't know, maybe we might talk about the good airline pilot, but I take it beyond the simple role of, say, like a bus driver, because when you're in the air in that tube, you know, you're susceptible to all kinds of vulnerabilities, aren't you? And there's something I feel that's quite powerful in that. In terms of kind of how pilots are viewed as having a trade, a very, very skilled trade, but it's a trade. So that interests me. Ask Rod at the back, he'll tell you all about it, because he's flown places before with charts and all this kind of stuff. But I think that's really important, that shepherding we kind of see as actually it was a respected role. And the question is, well, how are you shepherding others? And the wonderful thing I love about here at Whittlesea and other places is that people go, oh, we've got somebody new. Firstly, they say, oh, we've got somebody new in the life of the church. And secondly, they might say, oh, actually, do we need to think about membership? And because that's one model of how we involve people. They'll tell you. And the wonderful thing I think you're great about here at Whittlesea is you all get it. You know, you get the program. We get this understanding that we're journeying. We're wanting people to not just follow Jesus, but to give their lives to Jesus, because we've experienced it and we know what life in all its fullness can feel like. So it's not just the minister popping along, you know, it's everybody working together. We all have our role. But my question is, be it in the life of the church or be it beyond that, perhaps in your work or your community volunteering, what is it that you are taking responsibility for? I know people are taking responsibility here. But perhaps you need some strength today and to find a bit more dedication than you usually have when, you know, or perhaps there's something else going on in that you're the one who feels vulnerable and you need to know that the Lord is holding you and you're safe. God is the good shepherd. The good shepherd. Second thing that I found out today, and this, it's amazing what you find out, you maybe dig a bit deeper, is that, and I saw Zoe has a picture that she is looking at, and with the children, and it has the picture of the sheep pen and the very obvious gate for the sheep, and the shepherd lies in front of the gate. Are we familiar with that model of shepherding? It's a familiar picture, we might have seen it before. So Jesus is saying, I am the good shepherd, but the sheep overnight are kept in a pen, and the shepherd physically lies over the front of the pen, the most vulnerable part, in order to protect the sheep. So I am the gate for the sheep, as well as I am the good shepherd. Okay, so if you didn't know that, that's something else. Perhaps that visual image of Jesus lying in the way, in protection, Jesus before you, in protection, whatever you face, that might bring a sense of encouragement and relief today. But the other thing that's quite profound that I haven't mentioned is that there would often be multiple flocks of sheep in the same pen. So the sheep would come together. The shepherds would work as a team. Whoa! The shepherds would work as a team. Well, what does that mean? That means that you need to be able to trust the people who are part of the team. And what would happen is that after the sheep had rested, each shepherd would come out and would call their sheep, and their individual flock would go. And in between, they'd be sharing information about what was happening, where the terrain was difficult, where you could find water. And I find that quite profound, because we are sheep, but we live in a world of a lot of sheep. And people follow different masters, different shepherds. And sometimes, I don't know whether it would happen that, you know, the shepherd calls and then a sheep from another flock ends up in their flock or whatever. But the point is that Jesus calls and we follow. And Jesus calls us to follow him when we're in a context that there's lots of other people. But he calls us out separately to follow in his way. Does that make sense in a world of such diversity? You can still hear the voice of Jesus. So those are the two things that interest me. But I do find that model of Jesus would be the good airline pilot really quite helpful. You know, doesn't go, oh, yeah, there's no problem landing when there will be. He warns you that the landing might be bumpy, you know. But, yeah, you'll get there in the end. Helpful? Yeah? Okay. Let's have a look at some questions then. I think there are questions coming up. There might be images, but there's probably questions, I think. Yes. Oh, there's an image. I'm just playing about with some ideas before we get onto the questions. Yes. This is a lovely image. Anyone guess what is special about that image? That's a sheepdog. Anyone guess what's special about that? Trust, yeah. But have a look at the picture and see what's happening. It's got a thumbs up. It's not quite. It is reward, but why is she putting a thumb up? Not quite. You're going to be amazed by this. It's because the sheepdog's deaf. That really speaks to me. So it's a deaf sheepdog. It speaks to me, I think, about around about inclusivity. It doesn't matter what limitations you've got, we can all find ways of communicating, I think, really speaks to me. It's just a lovely image, isn't it? And it just turns on our head. We think about shepherding, and shepherding, we need to think about our 4x4 quad bikes and stuff like that rather than, you know. But there's something, I think, quite profound in that, because it reverses idea of, you know, there's different ways of shepherding. But I just love that. So presumably the dog's continually looking back. It doesn't take, when my dog's misbehaving, he's looking back all the time, just seeing, is he looking? Or most of the time he doesn't, just runs off in a different direction. Anyway, we won't go there. So that's one image that's interesting. What's there's another image? Yeah, I like this. Yeah, well, I think the famous rainbow sheep, there is something about our understanding of the universal love of God that we see echoed. You know, the promise of the Psalm 23 isn't just for for God's people, it's for the world. You know, and this notion of inclusivity, particularly today when we in the Methodist Church are prioritising and driving forward on our kind of training awareness for what we call justice, dignity, solidarity. But effectively, it's about our awareness of equal opportunities and more, but how we give dignity to people. And one of the maxims is that even though we might, it's normal for us to live with contrary convictions, particularly when we're thinking about issues such as same-sex marriage and LGBTQ plus IA, you know, that it's normal for us to live with contrary convictions, but when we disagree well. What does it mean to disagree? Well, but there's something in this image about recognising dignity in another. Dignity is one of the most powerful things that you can give. So I'm sure that Ian and Linda responded to that woman in a nightdress trying to walk her way to Peterborough. Yes, out of the practical need that she's in. But one of the first things on the mind that you can give somebody is dignity. Okay, and even if, you know, and listening is so important in that. There's a link there with the, you know, listening is so important. So yes, we remember that God loves all. All are welcome in God's family. Now, are you ready for some questions? Yeah, I'm ready for some questions, Reverend Henry, absolutely. Right, okay, let's have a look at some questions then. Don't know whether these went down. Did they go down? No? Okay, they didn't, that's fine. Okay, so the questions are simple. What does the thief do in the story? Rob, kill, steal, destroy. Are we aware of elements within our society or temptations around us that would do that to us? Yeah. Yeah, we live in a world that's full of temptation and the world of hostility. And Jesus brings us security in the midst of that. We all face temptation. We all face temptations in different ways. But also, as we say, I constantly say it, whether we have a dedication or whether we have a baptism, the first declaration from the parents is, do you turn away from evil and all that denies God? And the answer is yes. But really, it's about saying that as a church we stand for different values. And you can be really surprised. I found it at the school gates with my own kids when I was dropping them off when they were a lot younger, because I used to do the school run because my wife has a proper job. That's right. But you would stand at the school gates and you would overhear conversations, and you would overhear the ways in which people would talk about each other. And you'd even see the ways in which they would discipline their children, and sometimes the way they'd be disrespectful towards their children in discipline. And you're thinking, I remember being really surprised, because you inherit the way we do things around there, the way we see the world. You inherit this, and you assume everyone else thinks the same. But they don't. They don't, and it's really surprising. You can't get your head around it. And one of the things about our safeguarding training, and it's been really good to kind of see our commitment to that as a church, is that we kind of think, oh, safeguarding training, we might think, oh, I'm going to miss EastEnders or something like that. But actually, it's at the core of what we do. But very often, we don't realise the hostility that's out there and the malevolence that is out there. And safeguarding training, for example, isn't about, you know, necessarily, although there are things in there that are very helpful about educating people on how we keep ourselves safe in here, it's about making it difficult for the wolf to get in. Yeah? That's really, really hugely important. What are the insights that we've got when we look at cases of people who, for example, there was a case of somebody who abused a series of young boys. He had a market stall. He used to bring young boys in, befriend them, and end up abusing them. And he spent some time in the care system, and he didn't abuse at all in the care system. And the question was asked to him, you know, why didn't you abuse? And he said, because the opportunity wasn't there. Because the systems and structures made it hard. So even, so for example, when you hear sort of safeguarding, we realise, oh, we've got to do our safeguarding training, we've got to advance level, we've got to refresh, we have to do our DBS, which is a new one for every new post, you know, all that kind of stuff, if you're employed. We might go, oh, but actually it's about, yes, us knowing how we behave, but it's about keeping the thief out. That's the key. And it's really difficult because there's a change in tone in our churches. I'm saying more here than I thought I would be. But there is a change in tone in churches, because there was a time that we'd accept everybody first until something went wrong, and then we'd start asking questions. Now the sad thing is that we welcome people, but we're always a little bit guarded, always a little bit careful until we've done our checks and our processes, which is where safer recruiting comes in, because we keep the wolf out, because one wolf can make a heck of a mess and really damage. So that's the first thing. All right, there's the next question then. Oh, you didn't really get much. That's a straightforward question. Next question was, what do the sheep do in the story?
Follow the gatekeeper.
Follow the gatekeeper and sleep. Yeah, they are. They will sleep. We'll take it in context. They're sleeping. They're having a nice time. You know, what else do they do? What do they do in the store? They'll be feeding as well. Take that. Enjoying having a bit of sun. But what else do they do as well? As well as follow. They listen. Ooh. Yeah. Listening and listening's, ooh, that's not always an easy thing to do. We've got two of these and one of these. If we used them in proportion, I'm a fine one to talk, then life would be a little bit easier, I think. Yeah. And the sheep listen to Jesus and follow and discern. And also, you might think, the thing is that, you know, this is where the analogy breaks down, because one sheep will follow another, sometimes into silly places. But actually, we as sheep listen together and discern things together. So you might think that the Lord's calling you to wherever, but have you talked with somebody else about that who can reflect back? Okay. Yeah, rather than, the Lord's told me, and I'm like, okay, you know. Yeah. Okay, and a third question. What are we saved from? Partly linked to the first. What are we saved from? If you're able to, it's linked to the first question. What are we saved from? Danger? Does that mean that we won't face danger? We will face danger. Yeah, we're saved from danger. We'll stick with the danger. We'll move to temptation. So the danger. So the analogy is walking through a steep valley. I prefer, I don't know about you, I prefer, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I prefer that one much more than the darkest valley. I'm like, no. But if you imagine walking through a valley with steep sides, it's about vulnerability. The Lord preserves us and keeps us safe. But also, you know, when you know when your worry is getting bad, when you're worried about whether you're going to get worried. Yeah, that's anxiety. Well, you can be worried in life, but when you're worried about the feeling of being worried, it goes in a big, big loop and you get anxious. And that's really it. I think it's really helpful. You imagine looking up just and thinking, we're really, really vulnerable here. But actually, the Lord's with us. So saved, yes, saved from danger, saved from temptation. You said that we do have the strength to say no. We do have the strength in ourselves to put the disciplines in place to help move us away from temptations. Confiding is really important. I'm not much one for confession, you know, the Catholic model of confession. I'm thinking, please, no, don't sit me in a box and let me hear all your personal confessions. That would be a nightmare. But there is something that's really important about having somebody in a small group that we're able to confide in. Because a problem shared is a problem halved. Jesus never said that, but you know what I mean. You know? And in the small group setting, that's where we grow. So be encouraged today. Be encouraged that the Lord is with you. And celebrate how the Lord is allowing you to shepherd others, to nurture others. Because that's really been the crux of, I think, of how you've journeyed as a church, particularly with your commitment to children and young people. You've always wanted to see people grow in fullness. So God's blessing be with you. And I'm going to have a moment just of silence now. And we are going to sing a hymn. But just a moment of silence for you, just to think about any areas of that we've talked about. Personally, perhaps to ask a prayer to the Lord for the Lord's strength. Or perhaps to remember the needs of others, your nearest and dearest, at this time. And then Robin's going to lead us in some prayers afterwards as well. So just a moment of silence. Ask the Lord, ask the Spirit just to prompt you in your thinking and your feeling in this moment. Get that sense of Lord being close to you.
Come here today.
mixed feelings. Some of us will be tired. If we're feeling tired, then by the power of your Holy Spirit, touch us and refresh us. Lord, some of us may well have come and we're unwell. By the power of your Holy Spirit, touch us and bring us healing, all the strength to carry the cross. Lord, we've come and some of us may well be grieving. By the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray that you give us strength and fortitude, celebrating in the love we have for those who are no longer with us. But give us vision and hope moving forward, and help us to hold on to that truth that we'll see our nearest and dearest again one day. Lord, some of us have come here and we're perhaps weaker in our faith. By the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray that you would strengthen us. And some of us here, Lord, have come and we're new, whatever new means. But by the power of your Holy Spirit, help us both to experience that welcome. Help us to welcome those who are new, and help us to draw other people in. Amen. We're going to sing, Father, I place into your hands the things I cannot do. A reminder that it's not all about us, it's the letting go and letting God as we walk. And then Robin's going to leave us in a reading from Acts 2. And, sorry?
No, Paul.
Paul, sorry. I've said Robin twice, haven't I? Sorry about that.
I know why.
Yeah, why?
Because that was my former minister who spoke.
Oh, right, okay. Former minister, okay. Right, I'm just going to let that one go and say, I'm recovering. Get names wrong all the time. Yeah, it's good. At least, I might not remember your name. Jesus will. Right. They're fantastic. Thank you. I'm having a hot flush now. Father, in place into your hands the things I cannot do. So I'm okay. There we are, Paul. Thank you.
So our final reading is from Acts, and I'm reading from verse 42 of chapter 2, the fellowship of the believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Amen. So we now follow with some further prayers of thanks and intercession. Please join me in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we give thanks for your blessing on our church family. We are blessed in our fellowship and the growing friendships amongst us. Heavenly Father, we pray for those involved in future events here at Queen Street, our coronation party, the Holiday at Home project, our house groups, pastoral classes, the evolving Bible studies. Lord, continue to challenge each and every one of us to work in your name on all the outreach emanating from Queen Street, and continue to equip us to fulfill your great commission. At this time of prayer, for those of us at Queen Street, we also give thanks to those who work here and from other churches across the circuit, working beyond the local level to bring others to come to know you, your love, and to understand your grace. We give thanks for those times that we have truly sensed your presence in our lives, not just in the moment, but for the realization later that you were there with us, as always. Lord, as we continue to pray for the peace and health of nations and individuals alike, we focus this morning in our prayers for those under financial stress. Gracious Lord, we pray that your comfort and healing will be those not only hurting from the immediate economic needs that they are struggling to meet, but also for the repercussions of poverty on mental and physical health. We ask that you bless those who help out in so many ways via food banks and other associated charities dealing with consequential homelessness and so forth. And we seek your guidance as to what more we can do to help. Father, we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Yeah. I'm thinking Batman. As the images circle around my head. No, thank you. If we can, during this closing hymn, if we can go and call our young people back in. Secretly, I wonder where, with Zoe, if she's going, oh no, what I'm going to do, I've got to fill this time now, I've finished now. But if we can call the young people back in, I do know that they want to share with what they've been doing, and also they do want to close with a prayer, which we would be more than happy to oblige. And then I'll give a final notice about possibility the revive service. So let's sing together, Through the Love of God and Saviour. That's right. And we'll go and collect our young people. Thank you. Yeah. Do be seated. There we are. Wow. This looks really excited. Excuse me. I've just got... I have to do this. Nobody will see. Nobody see if I do this. Nobody will spot me. Here we are. Nobody... I've got... Nobody will see it. There we are. I was going to nick the cake. It's a cake, by the way. You couldn't see that.
Help me out here. Are we on?
You're on.
We're on. Thank you. Well, we wanted to share with you what we've been doing. We would have shared the cakes, but sadly, we've eaten them, except for these two. Little... Sheep down. I was not a good shepherd. Okay. We made little sheep cakes, and we ate them. And we also made sheep pens with the Bible verse, "I am the gate, and whoever enters by me will be saved." So, we wanted to share a closing prayer with you. But we just wanted to share our message from Children's Church today. Jesus said he is like the shepherd and we are like his sheep. And if we follow him and his ways by learning more about him in church and in the Bible, then we will see how Jesus leads us and shows us how to live God's better way. And he does this because he cares for us so much. A bit like a shepherd or someone who has a pet owner. But even more. Let's pray. Are you ready? Okay. Can't hold both. Bear with. Loving Lord, you are a good shepherd who leads us. You lead us to places of safety. You lead us to heavenly food. And you want the very best for us. Thank you. Help us to hear your voice that leads us. Help us to stay close to you when problems come along. And help us not to let things tempt us away from you. And help us to recognize danger and turn away from it. Help us to trust and follow you. Amen.
Thanks, Zoe. And thanks for your patience. Just want to return to pretty much where we were to begin with. I'm just wondering if you've got the Revive graphic for me. There we are. There might be just a fun. So, yes, again, I think I said six people. I realise that it's a busy time. I know that we are committed to welcoming new people into the life of the church. I am not here in June, at least in morning worship. As I said before, but I was wondering, I am free in an afternoon on the first Sunday in June, and I was wondering if we might have a service together, something that focuses on Revive or revival. And I did print these out already, but if six people come to me, I think that's a kind of point at which, well, I'm definitely going to be here. And do let me know if you are interested in that. Once again, just say yes to me. But there's a little invite here. That's the key. We've got enough time to advertise this. We're obviously having a bit of trouble getting it up on the screen. But there's a little note here that you can cut out. And you could hand this to somebody and you could invite somebody, a friend perhaps. But I'm hoping that the combination might be helpful. As again, you can't fail if you offer to share the gospel, invite people to commit and pray for healing. I mean, you can do that. It doesn't matter how many are there. But this is something that perhaps we could invite others towards. So if you're interested, let me know. And I'm going to close with a blessing. Okay. And we haven't said, what prayer haven't we said today? Yay! Brilliant! That's right. Okay, let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Remember, we're a family together, and I'll close with a blessing. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And God's blessing be with you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the tea and coffee and juice brigade and biscuit brigade is there at the back. Do make sure you stand. Don't rush off. And if I've not seen you before, say hello to me face to face, because, you know, I'm here, there and all over the place. And it's wonderful to see new people. Thank you. Have a good Sunday. Amen.